After graduating high school, I made a decision to not continue playing baseball. The following summer, me and my dad both were kind of going through withdrawals because we were missing baseball. And so we made a decision that we were going to coach a little league team. So we called the president of the league up and said, hey, we don't have a kid that can play in the league, or we don't really know anybody that's playing in the league, but we'd like to coach a team. And so they did that. They gave us a team to coach, and we got to go, and we got to watch them try out. We got to draft. Didn't know anything else about the kids, but except that 5 minutes of time you took whenever you saw them try out. And that's all we knew about them. And it was a 9 through 12-year-old team, and they had a lot to learn. And we started with the basics and worked our way up. And we practiced, I don't know how many practices we had, 3 or 4 weeks, however many it was, up until the first game of the season. And then the first game of the season came along. And they told me, one of the things that I had to get used to was staying in the dugout. Because in high school, you didn't have to stay in the dugout. If you wanted to stand outside of the dugout, that was fine. On top of that, the dugout in Little League was fenced in completely. And the fence was about six and a half foot tall. So I couldn't really see over it. So we get to our first game. And the kids are all running out on the field. They're excited. It's our turn to be out on the field. And I'm looking around, and everybody's in position. I feel pretty confident. I make my way around, and I get to the second baseman. And he might as well have been standing on top of second base. He was nowhere near his position. And I was like, what are you doing? And so I'll holler his name out. John, move over, move over. Nothing. Doesn't hear me, doesn't see me, nothing. And so, by that time, I'm jumping up and down, shaking the fence. John, move. Nothing. And then the parents are starting to holler at John because they're worried that the coach is going to lose his mind, And everybody's hollering at John, and John's not looking. Finally, I look down and I see a bucket. I flip the bucket over and I step up on the bucket. And as soon as I got my head over that fence and I holler, John, John looked at me. It's like the first time he had ever heard his name. I mean, he looked at me like, hey, what, I'm trying to play ball. I said, move over. And he moved over. Now, that's a good story and all, but what can we learn from it? Stepping up on that bucket raised me above the barrier. I want to ask us 3 questions tonight. It won't take long. When we can't see Jesus, whose fault is it? Isaiah 59, turn there with me. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, or his ear dull, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, my iniquities, have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. It's me. I'm the one that makes the conscious decision to separate myself from God when I sin. So, what? I gave it away. What is the separation between us and God? It's sin. It's as simple as that. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despise the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. We need to lay aside those weights. We need to lay aside those sins. We need to get away from them. We need to look to Jesus for our example. It's a simple solution. Keeping our eye on Jesus. And God didn't leave us hanging. He gave us a chance for salvation. He gave us the plan of salvation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. It's a simple process. One that takes afterward is when the tough part begins. Remaining faithful. We need to strive to stay above that barrier of sin. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things on this earth. The way we stay away from sin as we think about good things, we set our mind on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. Philippians 3, if you turn with me there. 3:17 and 19 says, "Brothers, join in me imitating me. Join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things." You know, the way we fall back into temptation right there is simple. We set our minds back on earthly things. So we really have two options. We can either set our minds on things above, or set our minds on things here on this earth. Final question I have for you tonight. Where have you been keeping your eyes? Or where have I been keeping my eyes? Have I been keeping them focused on things here on this earth? Have I been worried about the trials of this life? Or have I been striving to be better, to be a better Christian, to be a better example, to do better? You can do that by keeping your eyes focused on Christ and staying above the barrier. If they haven't been on Jesus, then take that step above the barrier of sin tonight and come forward as we stand and sing.